ladies. Luke chapter 2 tonight, Luke chapter number 2. This is our New Testament book that we're studying through together. We've come to Luke chapter number 2. We'll begin reading in verse 41. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Been a while since we've been back in Luke. And one reason is I've been waiting to preach it on a Sunday night. And either I'm not preaching lately on Sunday night or I'm out of town or whatever. I don't know what's happened, but it's been a long time since I've preached on Sunday night. And this is the message I've been saving for this hour. And I've had the outline and asking the Lord to speak to our hearts tonight. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. I'm preaching on verse 41 through the end of the chapter, verse number 52. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, there's our title, when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. I want to preach to you tonight on that thought. When he, Jesus, was 12 years old. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that you've brought us to. And I pray that as we come to the opening of your word and the preaching of it, I pray that you'll hide me behind the cross. Please forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. Give me a clear mind, clear heart. And I pray as I preach this message that it's not me that preaches it, but that it's you. And I ask that you'll take the faults and drive them home to all of our hearts, but especially the hearts of the children. Speak to them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got a frog in my throat. Speaking of frogs, you open the door for that one, brother. You know what I mean? Thank you very much. I know what you're... You want me to put this in, hoping I suck it down my windpipe, aren't you? That's what it is. You come to this passage of Scripture, the Lord Jesus is 12 years old. Do we have any 12-year-olds? Would you raise your hands? Is there anybody 12? Yes. He's your age when we're preaching through this message. So obviously there is an accurate application to you. Excuse me. If I die, the Lord was in it, okay? In this story, we see that Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem at the feast of the Passover. After they had fulfilled the allotted days for the Passover, they returned thinking that Jesus was among the company. In other words, they were traveling with several people, and they just took for granted that Jesus was traveling somewhere with them. They began to seek Jesus among the company, and they couldn't find him because he had tarried back in Jerusalem. Now, when they couldn't find him, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking the Lord Jesus. After 3 days, they found him. Before we get to the major thought of this passage, which is when he was 12 years old, before I get to that, let me give you several thoughts of introduction that we can all learn from. Now, I'm going to give you a 3-point outline, but before I get to that, I'm going to give you 4 things, just mentioning these things by means of introduction, that we can learn from this passage. First of all, let's not take for granted that Jesus Christ is in the company. For instance, Mary and Joseph just supposed that he was among them whenever they were traveling, but he wasn't there. And let us realize that the presence of Jesus in our midst is of utmost importance. Can I say this to you? If we had everybody in the Tri-Cities area attend this church, but Jesus Christ stayed on the outside, it's not going to be much of a church service. And I want to encourage us with something. Let us never take for granted that His presence is with us. Now, we know He's here in the person of the Holy Spirit. We don't need to take that for granted because He's living inside of us. What I'm talking about is His presence, His manifestation of His power. We need Him. And let us not take for granted that he just happens to be with us. And let us realize that nothing is worth keeping in our lives if it keeps the presence of Jesus Christ away. Secondly, let me say, this is all introduction now, just stay with me. Secondly, let us learn that when we find Christ is not among us, typically one knows where they lost him, his presence. Now, you never lose the Lord as far as salvation, but you can lose his presence. You can lose his power. And may I say this to you? If you ever find yourself not having the power of God, typically you will know it happened right there. May I say this to you? Mary and Joseph knew exactly where they needed to go back to in order to find the Lord. They went back to the place where they last had him, and there they found him. I'm saying that when you find the Lord's presence is not among you, you typically can trace it back to something in your life that should not be there, or something not in your life that should be there. Number three, this is all introduction now. Let us see another proof here in this text of the humanity of Jesus Christ. What do you mean? Look at verse number 52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. May I say this to you? J. Vernon McGee put it well, and he said this: he grew in wisdom, that's mentally, in stature, that's physically, in favor with God, that's spiritually, and man, that's socially. Get this, what a beautiful picture of God in human flesh, growing and increasing. Can I say this to you? The Lord was fully God. Amen. Because even Thomas answered in John 20, verse 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. He was God, but don't ever forget this, he was also man. The Bible teaches in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. May I say this to you? If God did not become flesh, then flesh could never live with God. Did you hear what I just said? I'm talking about glorified flesh. I'm talking about if God did not become man, man could never live with God. I'm so glad today that he was all God, but he was also all man. He wasn't 50-50. He was 100-100. You say, how do you prove it? The Bible teaches it. Hey, can I say this to you? How do you explain it? I don't know. You don't either. But we know it's what the Bible teaches. Fourth and finally, this just means of introduction here. Let married couples, if you're married tonight, let married couples learn from Joseph and Mary obeying the Lord's commands together. One man put it this way: we're told that they went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. That's what they're doing here. They regularly honored God's appointed ordinances and they honored them together. The distance from Nazareth to Jerusalem was great. The journey to poor people without any means of conveyance was doubtless troublesome and fatiguing. To leave house and home for 10 days or a fortnight was no slight expense, but God had given Israel a command, and Joseph and Mary strictly obeyed it. God had appointed an ordinance for their spiritual good, and they regularly kept it. And all that they did concerning the Passover, they did together. When they went up to the feast, they always went up side by side. Let me encourage married couples. If you're married now, don't serve the Lord in isolation. Serve the Lord together. Serve God together. It's a beautiful thing when husbands and wives unite in the things of God and serve God in unity and together. It's a beautiful thing, beautiful thing. Now, this is just introduction. Now, while these introductory thoughts could be elaborated on, I'm talking about the thought that don't ever take for granted that his presence is with you. Hey, realize that if you ever lose his presence, you typically know where you lost it. Realize that he was all God and all man, and realize if you're married today that God wants married couples to serve God together, not separately. Then, let's get to the main thought of the message, okay? The Lord led me to another thought. While I could elaborate on any of those points there, I just wanted to give them to you so you can chew on that. You can chew on it later. But the main thought that God laid on my heart was the thought that when Christ was 12 years old, this is in reference to the Lord, And in this passage, we see that this story, when he was 12, get this now, these are the only facts that's revealed between his birth and his ministry beginning when he was 30 years of age. It's the only thing that God tells us about his childhood. Right here, I'm talking about a story revealing facts about him. Now get this. If God, and he did, put this story in the Bible, he has a reason for doing it. And for this story to be included in the Word of God means it's important for us today. And let me say this to you. The Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how old he was, can always teach us great lessons. Always. And may I tell you that the 12-year-old Christ is going to teach every one of us something tonight. But specifically, the children. I'm speaking specifically to the children. But I'm speaking generally to all of us. And I want you to think about when he was 12 years old. The Lord. By the way, can you imagine having Jesus Christ grow up in your home? I'm talking about the Son of God. Let me give you three simple things tonight that we see when he was 12 years old. This is so simple, it is ridiculous. But if all the kids will listen, if everybody will, but especially if the kids will listen, I'm going to give you three things tonight that will change your life. You know what I like? I like it when parents, I was telling some parents before this church service, I'm preaching to the children tonight, and there's a lot of them sitting right here in front of me. One of them is my son. My son, this message is for you. Message is for all of us. Let me give you three things when he was 12 years old. Number one, when he was 12 years old, first of all, Jesus sat in the temple. We see this in verse 46. Notice it. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. See, after Joseph and Mary did not find Jesus among the company, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. The Bible says they looked for him for 3 days and they finally found him. Where was he? He was sitting in the temple among the doctors, listening to them and asking them questions. They were astonished at his understanding and answers. He knew the Word of God to the point that it was astounding. Now listen, while I can preach on a lot right there, the one thought the Lord gave me is how when they sought the Christ child, they found him in the house of God. Can I tell you something here, friends? At this early age, he was found in church. And may I say to you, he loved his father's house. And he went there and he didn't stand up, he sat down. You know what that tells me? He didn't mind staying a while. Can I say something to you? H.A. Ironside put it well. Here's what he said, and I quote, "A child was not supposed to be on his own responsibility until he reached the age of 12. No longer that way now, so you kids don't get any mistakes here. His parents were responsible for him until that time, back in this day. But when he became 12 years of age, he accepted his own responsibility, and it was now put up to him that he was to obey God and keep God's law and seek God's favor." Get this. At this age, the age when the Jews would look at him like, "You are now on your own. This is your responsibility. You make your decisions." We see the very first thing said about him is that he went to the house of God. In this we see how all of God's children, not just the children, but all of God's children should love God's house and be found present there every single time the door is opened. Can I say this to you? I have my questions about somebody and all they do is come Sunday morning. Now you say, "Wait a minute, you're going to offend some people by saying that." God knows my heart. I'm not trying to offend anybody because thank God they're here Sunday morning. But somebody who comes Sunday morning and thinks that's all they need for the rest of the week, they're missing something, friends. I'm telling you tonight that it is God's will. Kids, listen to me now. Children, listen to me. Every age, listen to me, but especially the kids. Get in the habit of understanding that church is not something you can take or leave. Church is a place where Jesus Christ went. Church is a place, the house of God, where the Christ child at 12 years old, he made it, I'm talking about, it was so important to him. He was on his own there for a little while. He could have gone anywhere, but where did he go? He went to the house of God. Learned that at a young age. Stay faithful to God's house. And may I ask you a question? Why should we be here every time the doors open? By the way, you are here. God bless you for coming. But let me say something to you. Why is it so important? Why should we be here every time the doors open? Why should we be here? You know, among a lot of reasons, let me just give you some here. First of all, under this, because God commands it. You know, that's enough right there. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Number two under this, why should you be faithful to church? Because we need it to mature in the things of God. The Bible says in Psalm 26, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, listen to this. Talking about the local church. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, get this, for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why did God give a pastor and teacher to this local church? Why does he give evangelists to the local church? He gives them for the perfecting of the saints. You know what that means? That means if you don't come to church and you don't listen to the word of God being taught, by the way, if the preacher's not preaching the Bible, find another church. If this, listen, if I drop dead of a heart attack, I trust that I trust this church would go on for God. But let's say that there's somebody gets up here and says, you know, the Bible says this. Well, let me tell you what I think about it. At that moment, somebody, a deacon ought to stand and say, excuse me, this service is over. Amen. We don't need man's philosophy. We need the word of God. And may I say this to you? I get something out of the preaching basically every time I preach. God is training me. He's molding me. He's perfecting me. I don't come here to preach at you folks. I come here to preach to all of us the wonderful works of God, the word of the living God. And we need church. So a God-called man that spends his time in the study, and you precious people make that available. You make it possible so I can spend hours and hours and hours studying over the word of God, meditating on the Bible, digging up things, bringing these things up. And you come to church and say, I never saw that before. I never understood it that way. Let me tell you why. Because God gives a God-called pastor to the local church to dig and dig and dig and dig and feed and feed and feed, because he wants us to go from spiritual babies to spiritual adults. And the local church is the local agency. It is the organization that God founded to help mature his people. Let me give you number three. You ought to be here every time the doors open to give the right representation of God. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. You know what that means? That means we are representatives on his behalf. Question, if Jesus Christ was in human flesh where you could see him like you see me, would he be in church on Sunday morning? Yes or no, friends? Would he be in church Sunday night? Wednesday night? Revival meetings, mission conference, then if we represent him, we're spitting in his face if we're not here. By the way, you know what I hope happens tonight? Hope nobody in this church needs this, but it sure would be great for a child to get on fire and say, I don't want to miss another service, and go home and tell their mom and daddy, if you're not going, please take me. I want to be like Jesus. Hey, you know what I hear sometimes? Not often, but I've heard this before. Who made up the rules of Sunday night and Wednesday night church? Why do you have to go back on Sunday night and Wednesday? Who made those rules? You know how I respond to that? Who cares who made the rules? If God is pleased and glorified in the local church, let it stay open 24 hours a day if He so pleases. I'm telling you that we need it to give the right representation. Number four, it's a good thing. Question, is it a good thing to go to church? I'm talking about the right kind of church. Is it a good thing? James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Refute that verse. Let me give you a fifth reason, to glorify God. Listen to what this verse says, Ephesians 3:21, unto him, talking about God, be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Let me ask you a question. Children, specifically children, but when I say children, I am talking about the children, but I'm talking about God's children, but specifically God's children who are children. You understand what I'm saying to you? Are you found sitting in the house of God every time the door is open? Let me ask you a question, kids. If your mom and daddy on a Sunday night came to you and said, listen, whatever you want to do tonight, it's up to you. We'll go where you want to go. We'll do what you want to do. Children, listen to me now. Where would you choose to go? You say, where would Jesus choose to go? He already showed us when he was 12 years old. He was on his own. And he chose to go to the house of God and sit down. Glory, what a thought for our kids to get a hold of. Amen or not, friends. Let me give you number two tonight. When he was 12 years old, Jesus sat in the temple. That means be faithful to church, be faithful to God's house. Number two, when he was 12 years old, Jesus spoke to his mother and Joseph. Look at verse 48 and 50, 48 through 50. When they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. First recorded words of Jesus. Here's what he says. How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Now there's not a tone of disrespect in that, because we know he never sinned. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. When Mary and Joseph found him sitting in the temple, Mary told him that they had been seeking him. Now at this moment the Lord spoke. That's where I get my second point. He spoke. And he said, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Now it's what he said, it's what he spoke here that I get my second major thought. Again, these are the first recorded words of Christ. Here's what Jesus was saying at 12 years old. Where my father's business is carried on, there you are sure to find me. In these recorded words of Jesus, we see a wonderful truth. And that truth is we should always be found doing the business of our Heavenly Father. Notice how the Lord said he must be about his Father's business. I'm thinking about doing a series and entitle it An Absolute Must. And do a word study. I've already done this word study on the word must. He must needs go through Samaria. He must increase, I must decrease. But right here he said, I must be about my Father's business. Here's what I'm saying. The will of God. The will of God for his life. When he made this statement, what he was saying, he's saying, what my daddy wants for me is not an option to me. It's an obsession to me. He's saying, I don't look at my father's business as something I can take or leave. I look at my father's business as the reason I'm here. What am I saying to you? I'm saying Jesus Christ at 12 years old made it clear that he has given his life to do the will of his father. You know, in the same way, all of God's children, young and old, especially the young children I'm preaching to tonight, can learn a lesson of seeing God's business as our business. Whatever he's involved in, we should be involved in. And this is not an opportunity, but an obligation. We're not in this life to do what we want to do. But we're rather in this life to be about our Father's business. Let me ask you a question. How important is the will of God to you? How important is God's business to you? Is it something that you can take or leave? Or is it an absolute must with you? Are you found constantly about your Father's business? Or are you more concerned about your business? Listen to these verses. Hebrews 10:7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. John 4:34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 6:38, Jesus said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 9:4, here's what Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. This is a simple outline, I know it. But when he was 12 years old, especially children here tonight, when he was 12 years old, he sat in the temple, and we learned there that we ought to be in God's house by choice. Not because we're being drugged, but because we love God and love his house, and every time it's open, if you got lost, your mama would not go to Walmart because she knows that that's what you love best. But your mom and daddy would come to the church house because they know this is the place you love more than any place else. Amen, friends. He spoke to his mom and Joseph. And in his speaking to his mom and Joseph, he was explaining that as a 12-year-old boy, he was absolutely obsessed with the will of God for his life. He was obsessed with knowing what his father wanted and giving his life to it. And he's saying this, don't you understand that whatever pleases my father, that's what you're going to find me doing. Glory, give us kids like that. Give us kids who say, listen, I'm not doing this for mama. I'm not doing this for daddy. But I'm going to do it because God is pleased with it. Whatever God's business is, that's where you're going to find me. Then there's a third and final thing. It's found in verse 51, and that is when he was 12 years old, he sat in the temple, he spoke to his parents, and number three, he submitted to his parents. Now, kids, you had to know that that's coming. But it's right here in front of us, verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, notice this, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. It's interesting to note how the Word of God says he went down with them. He came to Nazareth, and he was subject unto them. You know what that word subject means? It means he was obedient unto them. It means he put himself under them. It means he submitted to his family. See, Mary was his mother, and Joseph was considered his legal father. He wasn't his literal father, but his legal father on the human side. And in this, we see the Son of God willingly submitting himself to his earthly authority that his heavenly Father had placed him under. Now, what a lesson our children need to learn here from the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. One man put it this way, you listening? The ruler of the world, comma, an obedient child. The ruler of the world, comma, an obedient child. G. Campbell Morgan put it this way, the ideal boy, with a capital B, talking about the Lord, his volition to the will of God expressed it in subjection to his parents. It did not set him free from responsibilities to the home in which he had been brought up, but under the mastery of the will of his one father, he submitted his life to the authority of the home. Another man put it this way, talking about the Lord, his relationship with his heavenly Father did not override or nullify his duty to his earthly parents. Now, if children are going to be like the Lord, they're going to be subject to their parents. They will realize that not even spiritual activity, which is what the Lord was involved in the temple, questioning the doctors, asking them questions, this was a spiritual activity. They'll realize that even spiritual activities don't exempt them from obeying their parents. You know, the Life Application Study Bible, King James Version, the one that Dr. Ron Comfort recommends, put it this way: God's people do not despise human relationships or family responsibilities. The fact of the matter is, God has commanded children to obey their parents, not parents to obey their kids. Did you hear what I just said? H.A. Ironside told a story about how it was flip-flopped in a house. He said, and I quote, he said, "I was in a home not long ago, and the folks were getting ready to go out on a little trip. The mother was downstairs in the car, and the daughter was calling upstairs to the father. And he said, I think she felt she ought to apologize to me, and she said," and he's quoting her, she said this, "I hope you won't misunderstand, you know, I have the most awful time training father to do as he's told." You know, unfortunately, this scenario is lived out in too many homes. May I remind you that Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise, "that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth." You know what this tells me? It doesn't say that you will live long on the earth. It said that thou mayest live long on the earth. You know what this tells me? This tells me that a child's attitude towards his mom and daddy can shorten his lifespan. You disobey your mom and daddy, and you snub your nose at them, and you disrespect them, don't be surprised if God puts you in an early grave. If that's not what it's teaching, what's it teaching? And may I say to you that this is God speaking, says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Why? "For this is right." And he said, this is the first commandment with promise. And he goes on to say, "that it may be well with you." You know what that tells me? You show me somebody who disrespects their mom and daddy. You show me somebody who disobeys their mom and daddy. And I show you somebody that God's going to make sure it's not going to be too well on them. This is Bible teaching. Proverbs 23, 22, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Proverbs 1, 8, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Listen to this verse, powerful verse. Proverbs 30, verse 17, "The eye that mocketh at his father, and despiseth to obey his mother." In other words, the eye that just can't really stand his daddy. The eye that makes fun of his daddy. And listen to this. And it says, "the eye that despiseth to obey his mother." In other words, somebody looks at his daddy and just kind of shakes his head and makes fun of him, calls him old man, all these other kind of things, disrespect, dishonor, disobey, just laughs at his daddy and then despises to obey the law of his mother. In other words, that same eye who laughs at his daddy refuses to obey his mother. Here's what God says about it. Listen to this. "That eye, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it." You say, does that mean that a strange bird's going to come in my room and pluck it out, and another bird's going to eat it? No, it's spiritual terminology. It's saying, listen, you don't use it for God, you're going to lose it. You use your eye for something other than doing it for God, God's saying, I'm going to send my birds that I'm in control of, and they're going to pluck your eyeball out of your head. Spiritually speaking now, I'm not trying to have any parents have kids that have nightmares because there's nightmares of birds flying around the room tonight. But can I say this to you? If nightmares of birds plucking their eyebrows out or their eyeballs out of their head, if that causes them to get up in the morning and say, "Daddy, Mama, I love you. What do you want me to do?" Praise God for it. Amen. Amen. Say, "God, keep the birds coming if you want to. What am I saying here? I'm saying it's time that we understand it's not okay for little boys and girls. I'm talking about to sass their mom and daddy. It's not all right in God's eyes when God tells them to obey mom and daddy and they think that they know more than mom and daddy. That's not all right, young people. That's against God. God's wrath will fall on kids who think that they know more than mom and daddy. Amen. Amen. I'll amen myself tonight. Proverbs 20, verse 20. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Did you hear that verse? Let me read it again. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Matthew 15, 4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. Back in the Old Testament, under the law, no longer under the law, somebody say amen right there. But under the law, do you realize that a child who disrespected their mom and daddy, they took them out and stoned them to death? They killed them. Aren't you glad kids were not living under the law? Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying the world may just think it's flippant, but God says that's the authority I placed in your life. And if you disrespect them, you disrespect me. May I say this to you? Show me a child's attitude towards his parents, and I show you a child's attitude towards God. Children, if you want to be right with God, you must be right with mom and daddy. It's that simple. Let me conclude this. In these verses, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, 12 years old. And at 12 years old, he went to the house of God and sat down. He gave his life to the will of God and he submitted to his earthly parents. Now, while all of us can glean from this, let me speak directly to the children. If you're a child, I'm not trying to make you be embarrassed, but if you're a child, 12 years or under, 12 years of age or under, I want you to stand up just a moment. Would you do that? 12 years old or under. Upstairs and down, 12 or under. Now, are you looking at me? What I'm getting ready to ask, I'm going to ask all of us, but I'm specifically going to ask to you, if you heard what I said, would you raise your hand? Okay, you may be seated. Now look right here. Question number one. Are you an accurate picture of the Lord Jesus Christ by the following? First of all, are you faithful to church? So I'm here now. I'm not talking about your physical presence. I'm talking about spiritually, mentally. Are you glad you're here tonight? Or is there something inside of you saying, boy, if mom and daddy don't stop bringing me to church, would you rather be somewhere else? Don't answer that question out loud. If inside your heart you're saying, boy, I'd rather be at Toys R Us tonight. I'd rather be watching a ball game tonight. I'd rather be playing a game tonight. Then this message is for you. Number two, are you an accurate picture of Jesus Christ? Have you given your life to the will of God? I mean, if you made the decision in your life that whatever God wants you to do, that's where they're going to find you. I mean, if you got spiritually, physically lost, if you will, spiritually speaking, so to speak, your mom and daddy don't have to worry about what you're doing because they know whatever you're doing, it's pleasing to God. You giving your life to God that way? Does God's business mean more to you than yours? Thirdly, are you really submitting to your parents? By the way, it's not just your actions, it's your attitude. God did say, children, obey your parents in the Lord. But it goes on to say, honor your parents in the Lord. And as I've illustrated to you before, if I was your parent, and I said, I want you to clean your room. And you say, Do I have to? Oh, Dad, it's always I'm whatever. And then you storm off and you slam the door and you clean your room immaculately. See, you obeyed my command, but you dishonored my person. And may I say this? If you obey your mom and daddy, but it's with a sorry attitude, you might as well not even obey them. Because God's not pleased with your obedience with a stinking attitude. Amen, friends. I'm telling you, learn these lessons. When he's 12 years old, he went to God's house. He told his mom and his legal father that, why were you worried about me? You had to know that I was going to be found where God's pleased. And he told his mom and daddy. He didn't tell him what he told him with wise actions. He went with them. And the God of the universe, the ruler of the world, put himself under the authority of his mom and daddy. And because they wanted him to go with them, he said, yes, I will go. Children, if you don't understand this, your understander is broken. Make a decision at your young age. God, help me be faithful to the house of God every time it's open. God, help me to be found doing your business so that my mom and daddy never have to worry about where I'm at, who I'm with, what I'm doing, because I've given my life to you. And I realize I'm going to make mistakes, but I want to give my life to you in such a way that your business is my business. And even when I'm out on my own and I can make my own decisions, my mom and daddy can put their head on their pillow at night and rest content knowing that their son or their daughter's already made that decision, that wist ye not that I must be about my father's business. Son, God give you that. Glory. God give it to you. Make the decision. And if mom and daddy tells you to jump, your attitude's no longer, oh, again. But yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. How many times and how high do you want me to jump? That is what Jesus did. And that's what he wants our kids to do. By the way, spiritually speaking, on a much bigger level, that's what he wants all of us adult children to do too. Amen or not, friends, when he was 12 years old. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for this service. Speak to our hearts. But specifically, I beg you to speak to the hearts of our kids. Give them a heart for you. Help them to make a decision early in life that they're going to be found sitting in the house of God when the doors are open. Help them to make a decision early in life that they're going to give their life to do the business of their Heavenly Father. To where their mom and daddy, when they don't know where they're at, just like Mary and Joseph in this passage, they should have known all along, wherever he is, we know he's inside the will of God. He's obeying the Lord. And make a decision early in your life that, hey, whatever mom and daddy tell me to do, God, help me with my attitude. If your attitude's been stinking, you need to get on your face and beg God to change your heart. Make you more like Jesus. Maybe there's some adult children that need to do the same. Maybe not your physical parents, because maybe they're not even still alive. Maybe God's saying, you know, that obedience needs to be given to me. You need to be faithful to church. You need to submit to me and be about my business. They begin to play through softly. How's God speaking to you? Let me start with this way first. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ? Do you know the Lord? There's never been a time where you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Well, tonight, let me deal first of all who I preached to initially, and that's the children, 12 years and under. How many of you kids 12 years and under say, Jody? I'm either 12 years or below. And I'm not playing a game. I'm not trying to make a show. And I know you typically probably don't come to the altar, but I'm going to try to change that tonight. If tonight you say, I'm 12 years old or younger, and I believe God is speaking to me, that may not be a bad thing. It could be a good thing. It could be that you are doing these things, and God is saying to you, you know, little kid, thank you. Don't ever change. Or maybe God has his hand on something. Maybe it's something that your mom and daddy's been telling you to do and you've just been giving them a hard time. Or maybe it's something about the will of God that you haven't made that decision, that if you were out on your own, that you would be found doing the business of the Heavenly Father. Or maybe your attitude towards church is not good. Oh, you're here because mom and daddy make you come, but if you had it your way, you wouldn't be here. I don't know, maybe if God's speaking to you in that way. If you're a kid 12 years and younger, and I sure hope your parents don't mind me doing this, but if you're 12 years and below, and you say, Jody, God is speaking to me, and I sure would like to be like Jesus when he was 12. If you really mean that, right now, I want you to stand to your feet and come to this altar right now, all the kids, that you feel like God is speaking to you. All the kids, 12 years or younger, I'm going to pray and Brother Gary's going to begin to sing, and if God is speaking to you, I want you to come to the altar. And as your pastor, I'm going to have a special prayer with you. If you want your mom and daddy to come with you, I have no problem with that. Grab their hand, bring them with you. If you're not comfortable coming just as a kid, get your mom, get your dad, bring them with you. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought and use it. In Jesus' name. As soon as Brother Gary begins to sing, children, this is your time. As he sings, come now. Would you do it? All the kids. Say, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want you to stay up here at the altar now. I want you to be right here at the altar. Don't go back to your seat. Just stay right here. So I mean this. I want this. I'm a kid. I don't want to make this decision. Still time for you, kids. Come on. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want the kids to stay here. If your kid came to the altar and you want to come and pray with them, come on, come now. Would you do that? If your kid's at the altar, feel free to come. Come on now. Come on now, adults. Safe to say, if you have a child here 12 years or younger, they're probably at the altar right now. Come on. Come on. This is a great way to end the Sunday night service, no question about it. It's great to see kids on their knees. Kids wanting to do what God wants them to do. Kids wanting to be pleasing to the Lord, obedient to the Lord. Maybe somebody who's an older kid. You know what I mean by that, don't you? Maybe your kid's not up here, but you're a child of God. God has your attention. Maybe you want to come and pray. Come on. Come on. I want all of you to stay at the altar now. Nobody go back to your seat. Nobody go back to your seat. Just stay right there at the altar. Stay right there at the altar. Just pray for a minute. Let's sing that first verse one more time to give some parents some time to get to the altar if they want to do that. Let's sing that first verse one more time. We're just about through.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting.
Stay right there at the altar now. Stay right there at the altar. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the privilege to pray. Thank you for these children who came. I thank you for speaking to their hearts. And I pray for their parents and those who lead them, for our hearts to be right. Help us to realize that it's hypocritical to expect something out of our children that we've not given to you ourselves. Fill us with your power and spirit. Bless us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to look right up here, all you kids. My son's here. My middle daughter's here. Our baby girl's back in the nursery. And my wife is sitting right there. All you kids, you don't realize this, but this church, if God keeps you here, one of these days is going to transfer over to you. I might be looking at the next pastor of this church. I'm looking at boys when I say that. We might be looking at some future missionaries, Sunday school teachers, deacons. But I'll guarantee you this, if you don't keep your heart right with God, none of that will happen. And I want you to know as your pastor, I love you. I love you. I really do. I love you, Mom and Dad, sometimes. I'm kidding. And I'm just trying to preach my heart out to you tonight. Just do what the Lord did. Be faithful to church. Give your life to God's will. Parents, wouldn't it be great for when your baby girl or your baby boy, they grow up and they're gone, they're now on their own, that you can put your head on your pillow knowing something, and what you know is this. Hey, I know they're not perfect, but I sure know that they want to do what God wants them to do. Wouldn't that be great? And submit to your mom and daddy until God calls you home. Now, you know when this begins? When you get home and they say, now go brush your teeth. Judson. Go brush your teeth. It starts tonight. You say, even in small things, hey, I'm taking a few minutes. I hope you don't mind. Even in small things. If anybody had the right to say, I'm not going, wouldn't you think it'd be Christ? Sure. But the Bible says that he went with them and was subject unto them. All I'm preaching tonight is just do what Jesus did. That's all I'm preaching. And if we do that, everything's going to be fine. Amen. Amen. Outstanding. It's been a good service. I've enjoyed this service. It's very rare that the Lord lays on my heart just to preach basically. I preach to all of us, but basically to the children like this. And I've just sensed in my heart that it's going to be a good service, and it's been a good one. We give God the glory for it. Amen. I appreciate you being here. God bless you. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, touch us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Teenagers, your polo shirt order form is due tonight. Polo shirt orders due tonight. Give them to Brother Bob or drop it in the box outside of his office. All teenagers, I hope you heard that announcement. Give it to Brother Bob or drop it in his box outside of his office, okay? Thank you for being here. God bless you.